Well, hello runners. Welcome to episode 35 of the I Run Things podcast, the podcast for the everyday runner in search for that extra bit of motivation to get out there. My name's Susie, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, we chat with Emma Roca, who is undoubtedly one of the greatest ultra trail runners in the world. And exactly how great, you ask? Well, let me answer that just by listing a few of her achievements. She won gold medal in Leadville 100 in 2014, gold in Trans Gran Canaria in 2012, gold alongside her team in the Adventure Racing World Series in 2010, she won silver at the Marathon des Sables in 2011 and bronze twice at UTMB in 2012 and 2013. She also participated in the documentary World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge Fiji that was organized by Amazon. So if you have Amazon, you really should go check out the World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge Fiji if you haven't watched it already, because it's pretty unbelievably amazing. Emma is also so humble and such an inspiration for so many women for whom she's an example of work ethic and perseverance. In this interview, she talks about her favorite races, what it takes to make a world champion, how to balance being a mom with being an athlete and with being an entrepreneur and also a professional rescue firefighter. And Emma, if you're listening to this, I want you to know that we love you and we are so, so proud of you. And now, without further ado, let's play her interview.
Hi, fine. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Here I am in Guardiola de Berguedà with this beautiful Romanic church.
So it's amazing.
I can't talk to you.
Oh, I'm so jealous right now because obviously I am here in the United States. You're there in Spain. You're in Catalonia.
We have to explain.
And obviously, when I walk around my town, I don't see churches that are 12, you know, from the 12th century. So that's awesome. So yeah, I am very, very excited to have you on my podcast. This is such an honor because obviously you are one of the big names in ultra trail and, you know, adventure races. I can't believe I'm interviewing you, to be honest with you. So, but yeah, for whoever is hiding under a rock and they don't know who Emma Roca is, why don't you introduce yourself?
Who I am? Well, I'm a mother of 47 years old. I have three kids. Two of them are twins. So they came and it was awesome. Like, twins, 2 nights without sleeping. But after you have 9 months to adapt to the idea that you will have two more after the first one. And also I'm doctorate in biomedical engineering because I have my degree in biochemistry. I finished last year my doctorate, my PhD. And also I'm an ultra runner. I've been racing for more than 20 years in different disciplines. I started in duathlon, triathlon, marathons, mountain marathons, and then ultra races and adventure races. So I've been running a lot and in USA a lot also. I love Leadville, I love Hard Rock, I love Western States. So I've been running Run Rabbit Run, I've been running a lot there. And also I have three businesses. I love to co-found things that are related to sport, to healthy nutrition, and also to a lifestyle, a good lifestyle. So I just co-founded some businesses related with. What else? What is Emma? I'm a firefighter. I am also a firefighter. This is my profession. In fact, it's my paycheck every month. So, and I've been there for more than 20 years. I was the fourth woman to come into the fire service. And in Spain, we were the first 10 women in that period. So I was the fourth in Catalonia with another girl, four or five, and in Spain, the first 10. So we were the beginners as fire women here in the country, but very proud of it. And I love to help people.
Very good. You have definitely been paving the way for so many women after you, because I think Ulster Trail, and I think things are changing, but it tends to be a very, it's a world for men in many regards.
Many aspects in the world. It's from the point of view of men, you know, and when you are out of this point of view, when you are just doing your way, especially in Spain, in America, in USA, you are much more forward, you know. You have been doing many single tracks for women. Here, no. Here we are starting the single tracks, you know. We are starting the way to go and make some models, be as a model for the women or the teenagers or the girls that can see you and say, why not? Why can I not be a firefighter? Why can I do the best and the worst and the toughest races? Why not? Why cannot be an entrepreneur? Many things, because our place is not at home; it's everywhere, you know, everywhere.
Very true. So, when you were growing up, this is something I'm super curious to hear. When you were growing up, did you always want to be an athlete? Because when did you realize this is really what I want to do? I want to run races.
In fact, the running races, when I had the bib on, it was over 20 years old. So I was competing really late compared with others. But I loved always to do sport, to do activities. After finishing the school at 5 p.m. in Catalonia, I was asking all the time to my parents, I want to do basketball, I want to do soccer, I want to skate, I want to do ski. So I did many sports. I'm considered as a multitasking girl. I love to do many things. So the sport was part of my life. Not as a competition way. After, yes, because I realized that I was very competitive and I had options to be on the top. So if you have options and you are realizing that it's not that difficult for you to be on the top three in many competitions, then you have more motivation, of course. But above that and apart of that, I think that the sport is part of my life. My father did a lot when he was young and when I had him as a father. So I saw him biking, I saw him mountain skiing, and I love to be in contact with the mountains and with the nature. And for me, just walking, it was a distraction, but a pleasure. It was a pleasure to be there.
Now, are your kids, do you think they're going to follow on your steps?
I hope so. I don't want to force them. I want them to be just happy of what they are doing. For me, the most important thing, even if they play sport, they play music, they just read, I don't care. I want them to be happy. But I insist on me and my husband, because both we do a lot of sport. We train 15, 20 hours per week. So it's part of our life to do the training or to do just physical activity. I want them to do something. I don't want them to just lay down, stay in the sofa, to see, to watch the cell phone, to just do Instagrams, Twitters, Snapchats. I don't want that, you know. I want just 1 hour, 2 hours per day maximum, but then activity. The physical activity is so important for the body, and it has to start from the beginning, from the kids, from the children. They have to move all the way. I don't care if they move. Right now, my daughter, my oldest, Irina, she's 14 and she's doing soccer. My twin, Marti, he's 12 and he has been biking this afternoon. And my other twin, Mariona, also 12, he just walked around to the village with a friend. it's okay, it's perfect. So you have to move on the afternoon and the evening before having dinner.
Right. So I really wanted to talk to you about training, because when I was listening to your interview with Tina Muir, I was extremely inspired by the way, how passionate you are talking about running and swimming and paddling. And it's just, it was so motivating. However, what does it take to make an athlete like yourself? Because I can't imagine, I mean, to train for Leadville or to train for any ultra race, how many hours do you have to train to be able to perform minimally?
Yes, in fact, you don't have to train one day the same hours that you will spend on a race. Of course not. It has to be the sum up of every day in a week. And yes, the overall of a week, it can be the training of that race if it's an ultra race, because it's very traumatic. It's a trauma when you run, your articulation, where your knees, your elbow, every part of your body, it hurts. So you have to combine a lot. You have to do also biking, also swimming. I love to do different sports during the week, because if not, it's very easy to get injured just if you just run. But the training, it has to be very, you have to be motivated, you know, even if it rains or if it's cold, you have to love what you are doing. It's not a question of timing or the Strava or if you lose a comb or no, it's not that. It's not to say to the social media that you've done. No, you have to love it. I love to go through the mountains with my dog. Here is it.
Oh my God.
So I love to share my experiences, to talk to friends, to go with them also after, to explain to my kids what I've done, or even just to touch the tree, to stay around with the nature. And every day you take a learning from that, and you also feel fit. And for me, feeling fit is the best, because you arrive at home, you can eat not everything, but you are a little free to eat whatever you want. Also, you feel strong. And even with my work as a firefighter, I need to be fit and strong. So I need to just maintain my fitness. And for you as a woman, also, sorry, this is the church. It's taking the
very
time.
Nice.
Sorry.
And it's 8 at night.
Yes, it's 8 at 9 in Catalonia, Spain. This is a Romanic church from Guardiola de Berguedà. And it's taking the hour. Well, I'm also training every day for these such races. It's an empowerment. It's empowers you, you know? You feel much self-confident. And also as a woman, you have more mental and physical strength for everything. You know, for this society, if you feel fit, if you have also an objective, when you have a sense of life, what I'm training, because I love it, because I love nature, I love to be fit, but also I have an objective. I want to do this race, that race. My goal is to arrive to the finish. Everything makes you a combination of factors. It makes you, for me, it's a big backpack that, when you are training and training and training, you have the capacity to know that you will finish this ultra race, that you can afford, you can be, even if it hurts you, because Fiji or any eco challenge or any adventure race or any ultra race of 100 miles, it hurts you. You know that you are going to pay, it will be painful. And then mentally you have to know it, because you have the experience from shorter races. And so you are prepared to suffer, and you are keen to do that. And for me, it's not difficult. I just train and train. I know that the experience from each year that I've been doing that, it makes me grow the level of reaching the goal, the objective, because the experience is it's one of the clues to have success in these such races, because it's not a sprint one. That if a little detail it fails, it can be a disaster. No. An ultra race, many things can happen, but the mental one, it's the most important. So the experience gives you this power. And how I train, just enjoying what I'm doing. This is how I train. I did the homework from a trainer for many years. The last 2 years I just finished. I consider that over 45 years old, and it's not the goal to be on the top three on the overall. Even sometimes it happens. And then I just train for pleasure and also for a competition, but more for pleasure. So I stopped having a trainer, and also I know myself. So, you know, I use a heart rate band, and I use many other gadgets to know how I feel. And as a, well, every person who does many hours training, they know exactly what happens in your body. When you feel a little tired, when you have a little of injury, you know everything. So you have the feeling of your body perfect, because you have been building it many years.
Right. So do you train with heart rate training?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm a biochemist. I finished my PhD, and also I saw what happens in your heart. No, because I know exactly then which is my pace in everything. If I do an endurance training, if I do a fast one, it's very difficult for me to do fast trainings. For me, to do fartlek, as we say it here, that just you go fast, slow, and you do some serials, you do some blah, blah, blah. It's disgusting for my age. So the way to train this is doing races. Do short races. And for example, for a marathon, I just do half marathons. And then with a beep on, if I wear a beep, then I go fast. But if I don't have a beep, it's very difficult for me in a training to do that. So my heart rate to have it, for the trainer, of course, because he wanted to know exactly what I was doing. But right now is just for a control. It's just a healthy control that I'm doing okay, that it's not any arrhythmia, that everything is okay. And I train with the interval that it's endurance one.
Heart rate training here in the United States is getting very popular. Like most people I know, they do either the Muffetone or heart rate training. I don't know exactly the difference, but there's a lot of people now that swear by it. But for me, for example, if I had to do heart rate training, I would not run. I would just walk because my heart rate goes into really 145 as soon as I start.
In fact, you need a treadmill test, Susie, to know exactly which is your interval training, which is there are different thresholds from lactate or not lactate, and then with a treadmill test, you know exactly which are the interval trainings to do. And then with the heart rate, you know exactly after 145, what happens, or below that, what happens to your body. So for the people who is training with heart rate sensor, they need, it's compulsory to do a treadmill test to know exactly your heart, are the periods that how is working and in which speed and what it means to you to go at 145. Because with a kid, 145 is nothing. But for a woman after over 45 years old, yes, it's a good heart rate, 145. So it depends on the age and the sex, and also on your condition.
Right. So how is doing ultra races different for men and women, in your opinion? Because some people say that the body of women is better prepared to do long distance, and the longer, the better. distances are more for men because they have more of that explosive strength. Do you agree with that?
Explosive strength, it's okay. It's okay for 6-8 hours, but it's not for 24 hours. So I agree with that. As far as the race is better for women, for sure. We are more endurance people. We know exactly how to preserve our energy, how to combine in each different paces of during the race. And after doing my PhD and also after doing many races all over these years, my conclusion is that women control better the hydration. They know exactly more than men because women don't lose that such quantity of weight compared with men. So they control better. And also the women that decide to do this type of races, they pass through a filter in this society that they are more prepared than other men that just check. Let's try an ultra race. No, women who say that, they train a lot. They know exactly. So we are more mental about the decisions that we do, because it's not easy for us to combine family, to combine work, to combine everything. Still now in Spain, it's very difficult to have your time as a woman compared with men. I know many friends and many couples who trains more is the husband because it's like that he has more time. Why? I don't understand, because I have the same time as my couple, but I think it's a cultural problem, you know. So the girls that are doing ultra races for me are more prepared, and also during the distance we are more adapt to suffer long distances with normal average pace, that you can do this pace all the time, go with no problems. And you saw Courtney Dowlager, she did top 3 overall in an ultra race last year, and she's beating with many men. So, and also the marathon time in women, it's 2:15, the world record, compared with 2 hours. So it's only 15 minutes in a marathon, an asphalt marathon, that it's really tough and a lot of years of training. I think endurance, it benefits for women more than for men, because we know how to control our strength and our pace during all the time. Men sometimes, especially also in ultra racing, when they do these adventure races, they go fast the first days. And then the third or the fourth, they are dead. And I said, why? You just rushed too much. Sometimes they don't control us as we can do. And sorry if some men don't like my words. It's my opinion. So sorry about that.
No, I read years ago, both a man and a woman are at the bottom of a hill and they both start running. If you ask them before they start running, if you ask the guy, how long are you going to get? How fast are you going to get there? They always think positive of themselves, like they're going to get there faster. The woman is always more negative. They're like, well, maybe it's going to take me this much time. And then they improve that time in reality. So I think there's something to it that men tend to be more like, I can do this. I'm just going to jump and do this. And women are more... women are more like, well, maybe I can give it a try, but we are more
some of them, I think, have, some of them have the feeling of being the macho, being the one that is going to save the clan, you know? And the women, we are always in the second place. We are always on the backwards. And then after days, we just come through over. And I experienced in adventure racing that at the end of the adventure race, like Fiji or others, many women feel better than a lot of men because they knew how to conserve the energy and everything.
Right.
Strategy.
Right. So which of all the races that you've done, I have 2 questions. Which one was your favorite? And which one, and this is probably like choosing in between kids, but which one was your favorite and which one was the hardest?
My favorite in ultra racing is 100 miles. It was Hard Rock in Colorado over Durango. Hard Rock was amazing because it was technical, it was hard, it was in high altitude. So it was so exigent. It made you really suffer over 4,000 meters. From Europe, 4,000 is a lot. And this was my beautiful race. It was, and luckily it's by a quiz. You cannot go easily, so you have to be inside how you say a sorteo, a lottery.
Yes.
So you are in a lottery and it's not easy to participate, but if the people who is listening me and they love ultra running, Hard Rock, it's one of them for sure. For me, it was one of my best. And which is the hardest race I've ever done? The hardest always are the adventure racing. Adventure racing is 6 days, 5, 6, 7. You even don't eat, don't sleep. You just sleep 2 hours per day after the second night. So in 6 days, you can, 5 nights, so 4, you can sleep 8 hours in 6 days. This is the hardest because you are always tired. You're always hungry. Your body just wants to lay down, stop, sleep. And you say, no, we have to continue. You're always working as a team. So if any one of the other team members have a problem, we have to solve it all together. So it's not easy. It's very hard, but also it's a great experience. And right. One of the races about this, Fiji was one. Eco Challenge last year in Fiji Island. Another one was in Tibet, Nepal. I had a very bad time there. Also in Patagonia, but if I can number the adventure races in each one, I had very bad moments.
So how do you overcome that when you have, like, you're really in a tough spot? How do you make your mind get out of that? What do you tell yourself?
In fact, I tell that we have to go. Don't stop, just go. This is a bad moment, it's a bad situation, you have a bad time, but after the bad time, it will be sunshine, it will be the good weather. So it will be the good time, it will be the good sensations. So after a down, it will be an up, and for me, for sure. And also, you have a compromise with your team, working as a team, and then you have to go with them, even if you don't like that situation. If you feel really tired, if you feel angry, you are disgusted, you just know you have a compromise. You are a team and you have to finish together. And when you are not racing as a team, when I'm doing ultra races, what I think is to keep on going. I'm very motivated. For me, it's an attitude. I have the attitude of just continue, just keep on going, Emma. You knew that it was hard. You knew before coming that you would suffer. Before putting your bib on, you know the consequences of an ultra race. You know what happens with your feet, with your stomach, with your mind, with your, you are really, you want to sleep after. I remember Diagonal de Fou. Diagonal de Fou is an ultra race that it's 2 nights that you are racing. For the first, three girls, we were spending 31 hours. I was doing top three in Diagonal de Fou in La Isla Reunion Island. And this race with 2 nights, it was extremely hard because the first night you don't sleep because you are starting at 7 p.m. But the second night, that normally being on the top three, you are just in the hotel, you just arrived and then you are on the finish. No, you are still racing. So for me, it was really hard about that. And what do you think? Keep on going, Emma. You knew that it would be really hard. So if you know where are you going, just continue.
Right. So another thing I'm very curious to learn is how was the Eco Challenge? Because obviously there was a huge budget before Eco Challenge. A lot of people have watched the show here in the United States and everywhere in the world. How is that different to other races? Did you feel, as a participant, do you feel that there's a crowd of people with cameras behind you? Does it make it
this
different?
This was the only thing, because at the end, you have the bib and you have a competition and you want to be on the top. So the cameras were there, and the only feeling was that at the end, you would have a very nice remember with the
okay
with the coverage, you know, you will have a very nice video to show to your kids and to your family, but perhaps you have the consequences about, because then your mom, dad, and all your family will say, what are you doing? You are really silly to do that. If they don't see it, they don't tell you. But if they see it, they say, but you are completely crazy doing these kind of competitions. But the only difference between the others is, of course, all the media that was there. It was impressive. 5 helicopters flying all the day, more than 300 cameras around the island. Also, we were one of the 10 teams that we had a cameraman with us in the trekking sections. You were paddling, and then a cameraman came from the water and said, and everywhere, you could find someone compared to other adventure races that you are alone with your team most of the time. So this is what it was, the big difference. But they were there, but you couldn't talk with them. So they were and they weren't. They were there filming you, but you couldn't even watch at them or ask them something. No, they were phantasms. They were not for you. And it was really a strange sensation when I was really bad in the river, that we had hypothermia and we had really bad problems in one section. We didn't wear the proper clothing. So, it was horrible. And the camera was there. And I was telling them, please, how long is this swimming? I need to know it. And they couldn't say anything. And I was looking at the cameraman and I was hating them. And I said, cagun la puta. And I said, but they couldn't tell me anything, you know? And when I finished the race and the cameraman came to me after finishing and everything and just telling me you were incredible. And I said, and he said, I was the cameraman on the river. And I said, you were. No, and I was like hating him, no? And he said, I'm sorry, but I couldn't tell you anything. It was really, he was suffering also for me, of course. But it was the TV, it was the show. So we couldn't ask them for help.
So at that point, did you feel like something physical, like bad was going to happen to you or to your teammates? Were you like... thinking that something scared. Really bad was going to happen?
I was scared because when the cold gets into your body, many things can happen that you cannot control. It was unhealthy in that time. It was really dangerous because also Fran was 35 degrees in their in his core body. And this is very low. You can start a heart fibrillation. You can start to have really bad heart problems. So I was scared. I was really scared. And what was the solution? The problem was that we couldn't stop. There was no exit in that river. The river was in a canyon and was jungle and jungle. There were any paths over and around the river. So the river was the only line to continue. And each meter, it was a swimming pool. It was a pool to swim. It was another and another and another. And your temperature was going down and down, and your mental was going down and down. And in that point, the success was the team, because Albert and Yuka, they were okay, but me and Fran, we were really bad. So it was the team work, the team spirit, to just Yuka and Albert push us, me and Fran, to continue. Let's go to find a different a solution, to just see. I remember that Albert was telling me, Emma, this is very short. This is a very short pool. Don't worry. And it was a long one. But then I started. I said, me cago en la puta. How can they? He says, but I was inside. But if he starts to say, Emma, this is another long one, I would say, I will not. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But no, he just changed the message to make us continue. Even we knew that it was really bad and dangerous, but there was no solution. If we stopped, we would die. It was very cold. We didn't have any other clothing to put on.
Wow. Yeah. Did you know in advance that it was going to be that hard? Like, could you?
No.
You didn't. Okay. I was just wondering if the organizer said, okay, these are kind of the situations that you might go through.
I think that the organizers knew that some teams would have problems and trouble. And that's why they didn't ask us to wear a neoprene. It was not compulsory, you know? So they knew that some teams would have problems if they didn't wear the proper neoprene or the proper clothing. And they wanted that. They wanted that show, you know? They wanted the people to suffer. So right. It was part of the game. And because we were one of them.
Yeah. More people watch, you know, if people are struggling.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Watch. The limits.
So would you, I'm not sure if the show is going to happen again. I think they canceled.
I hope so. They tell that they are working to find new sponsors to be not only Amazon Prime Video, to have more sponsors together or with another TV enterprise. The organizers, they have it, everything is prepared. Also, they choose the teams. They didn't tell us still if we are in the show for next year, but more than 2,000 teams have applied for, and they said that only 35 places. So it's like, wow, it could be great if they continue because many, many teams want to come. And they are finding sponsors. And I think till March, they have time to find some sponsors. And let's see if they can say, yes, definitely. We can do it on November 2021 in Patagonia. I would love it. In fact, I will pray. I'm not Catholic, but I will do some praise in this.
It's a sign. We have the church.
Let's see if they can put it on again.
That's so funny. And I know that you have participated in Western States. Mm-hmm. Which are like big races here. How do they compare to races in Europe?
Ultra Trail of Mont Blanc or right. Lavaredo or Kina.
Transvulcania.
Transvulcania. Apart from Hard Rock, that it's technical, European races are so technical when you are on the ridge of the mountain. It's not that high. So especially in Colorado, the races are in a very high altitude. So for us, well, in fact, I live in the Pyrenees in 1,000 meters, but it's not that much to just create more red blood. It's not enough to live. You need to live in 2,000 meters to just produce more red blood cells. But America has very high altitude races. Only Hard Rock was especially technical, but all European races are so technical. There are many parts very technical. The mountains are different, you know. You find many different rocks, and also we have one of these races. It has change on the mountain, so you have to follow the change, and you are in a ridge. So they are kind of special. yes. And another thing that I love in America is that there are a lot of people watching you. It's a way of living. You know, all the family comes to Leadville. All the assistance points are huge cities of people there. It's amazing how the people follow these races. And how the people race, because it's the objective of the whole year and all the families there. Here in Europe, no. Here is more, we race here, we race there, we have this calendar, the family comes, but sometimes just stay on the finish or on the start line. They don't follow the circuit. Only in Cegama, in País Vasco, in Basque country here in Spain, they are a lot of they love to follow the races, and they have the bibs and the names on a list so they can shout you your name. But normally, no. Normally, it's more, how can I say it? Not sad, but it's not as in America, the people who is racing ultra races is inside their heart, you know? It's a way of life, a way of living.
Yes, I agree with that. I was just wondering if you would say the same thing. But it's really interesting because people in America, trail runners in America, they want to do UTMB. They want to do Trans-Canaria. They want to go to Europe.
And it's good because it's a great experience and it's a different race trails. So, and also to enjoy different culture. And especially one of the things that we are really good is in the party after the race. So here there's a lot of ambience, a lot of ambience.
I know, it's amazing.
In France, no. And in Switzerland, no. They don't. They drink a lot, but it's not the party that you can find in Spain for sure.
Spain is different. I completely, It's interesting because I read on Runner's World, this is years back, that when you compare the average runner, like an average American runner to an average Italian runner, French runner, Chinese runner, like the runners that were the fastest were the Spaniards.
Yes. I don't know why. Well, I know Kilian from many years ago when he was 13 years old, he was with me. We just made some mountain races, ski mountain races with his mom. And also he helped me to put some controls in adventure races that I was organizing for women. So I know him from many years. And he was growing as a kid, just loving the mountains and having the landscape as a normal, just walking without shoes over the snow. He and the nature was one together. But here in Spain, why some of the best runners are there? Because we don't have many budget. We don't have many, how can I say, sources to help you to do. Then you have to put more effort than perhaps another one. And this effort that you put, it makes you more clever, stronger, you know, because you have to combine the things that the country gives you, that it's not that much. And then with that, if you are good, you are really, you go.
You're probably right about that. I was just wondering if maybe in Spain, people were more competitive but I can't say that that's the reason why, because in the United States, people are very competitive. So it was mind blowing to learn that, you know, a guy or a woman of in her 40s runs faster marathon in Spain than in the United States.
Because we are more sometimes of kind of stupid, I don't know, but we are more go. I don't know. Because the nutrition is the same, so everything is the same, but perhaps I don't know. Genetically we are different. She's saying, let's go, Emma, let's go, mommy, let's walk. But if we walk, we don't have light, so we have to stay over here under the light. Evie, I'm sorry, we have to stay here.
For people who are on the podcast, they can't see this, but Emma has the same kind of dog that I have, and the same colors and everything. These dogs are such,
amazing.
To the mountains? Do you run with her?
Every day. It's my inspiration also, because my kids don't want to follow me. They just have their own lives, but she is my life.
Oh,
it's so cute.
Oh, they are adorable. These dogs are like a blessing for the family.
Completely.
They like it's their amazing. Humans so much.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing how can they follow you for everything. Even if you are sad, if you are angry, or if you are happy, they are there with you. And I try to choose the trails to do. Running, it's no problem. She can follow me. Well, she's waiting me, not following me. She's waiting. But biking, in fact, gravel, I cannot do that much with her. And also not road cycling, but I do a lot of mountain biking. And I try to choose some trails that go up in a piste, that then she's waiting and she's following me. But then downhill, I try to choose single track and kind of technical, because then I don't have to wait her a lot. And we can combine. And it's amazing that you can combine with your dog the training, even if you are biking. And
that's awesome. This is,
I like it. I love it.
How old is she?
4 years old.
Oh, so she's younger. Four. Mine is seven. Yeah, mine is seven.
Four.
Yeah, but gosh, I run with mine. Mine is not as, obviously, because she runs with me, she's not as trained. We do like, I don't know, 5 kilometers. Oh my God, she's adorable. She's a sweetheart.
This no, but so... even if she does 5Ks with you, it's perfect. It's the physical activity to do something, to stay with you, even if you just walk for a mile. It doesn't matter. They want to stay with you. Yeah. The kids in the beginning, yes, but then when they are teenagers, they don't want to stay with you at all. They just say, "Oh, mom, now we have to go to walking."
It's so much effort. Are you still organizing races for adventure races?
Women. No, I've been doing it for 6-7 years before having kids. But right now, no, I don't have time. With the companies I have, with my research about health and everything, that I finished my PhD, but they have some articles to finish also in the research. I done also firefighter, also the training, then the family. How can I manage with more time? I cannot. Right, I'm right. Sorry. I cannot organize.
Well, when you do
48
one.
48 hours.
When you do one, I'm going to sign up. And come okay. Around it. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks so much, Emma. Thank you for your
You're
time.
Welcome.
Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks a lot, and I hope people will like. And sorry if some men would not like some of my words. It's my opinion, and I hope
they'll do fine.
Okay. Thanks, Emma. Thanks, Susie. See you.
Bye bye. See ya. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Emma, and if you did, please leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. That helps other people find the show, and it also encourages me to keep finding great guests such as Emma. Don't forget to visit the I Run Things community on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And please come back to listen to more episodes. I upload every week. As always, run fearlessly, guys. Ciao.